Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
So I want to start this morning by just telling you guys a story. There's not going to be any slides behind me, so you get to focus on my face, which is obviously a privilege for all of you this morning. So I want to tell you a story really of a week and a half of mine and Jess's life, that something that happened a few months ago. And really this kind of challenge came out of nowhere for us. It was one of those situations where kind of everything's fine, and then suddenly something hits you, and you're not sure really where this thing's going to go. It could potentially end really badly, or it could be fine, but it's out of your hands. You know, there's situations where you just have to bring it to God in prayer. And so when this thing started, I remember it was a Wednesday afternoon. I remember just praying to God that actually he would ensure this thing ended well, right? Perhaps you can relate. And then actually on Wednesday we had some reasonably good news, and it looked like, yeah, actually this is on a positive trajectory. Maybe it's going to be fine. Okay, but it was still a really concerning situation. And kind of as the days went on, I remember a couple of days after that it began to kind of go downhill again. And perhaps you can relate, you know, feeling it out of control, because we are out of control, really, in most situations. And so we continued to pray, and I continued to cry out to God, would you intervene in this situation? Actually, would this end positively? And we tend to have quite a short-term view of what the end is, don't we? But Lord, would you prevail in the situation? We continued to pray. And then I remember, again, it started to kind of go on an upward trajectory again. It looked like it was going to be all good, but we continued to pray. You probably pray more when it looks like it's going badly, don't you, than when it looks like it's going well. But we continued to pray, and I continued to ask God to glorify himself and Jesus Christ through a positive outcome to this. And then it kind of started to go downhill again, and at this point it really quite quickly went downhill in the situation, and it really became clear that actually for this to resolve positively required a miracle. And you know, when you face those situations, you really accept, actually, now it's at the point where if this does end well, Lord, you truly will be glorified. Truly, I'll have to accept that this is you that's turned this around, and that would be miraculous. And so I continued to pray. But it didn't seem to be improving. And then kind of the day came, the decisive day, where really we would find out, is the worst going to happen here? And that day came, and it was a profoundly sad day, actually, because it did end. It ended the way we didn't want it to. And in those times, what happens is you hopefully draw near to God. And you cry out to him, and you ask for him to draw near to you, don't you? You say, God, just bring peace, bring joy, show that you're with us, Lord Jesus. And that very same day, I was sat with Jess at home, and I think we were just kind of sat just quietly at that moment. And her phone vibrated, and she looked at her phone, and she had this message from a strange, this girl that, friend of ours, you know, I say to a friend, really only met her twice, literally only met her twice, but this girl loved Jesus a lot, really wonderful heart, and it was a message from this girl. I hadn't seen her for 4 or 5 months, knew nothing about what was going on, and so I read this message after I saw Jess had looked at it and just kind of started crying. I looked at it and said, yeah, just, this might seem really random, but I just felt that God wanted me to send you this message. And that he wanted me to send you the lyrics to this song. And so I was reading through the lyrics, and And honestly, if she'd sent this message to anyone else here, you would have thought, you know, I appreciate your heart, but this makes no sense to me. This song was so specific to the thing we were going through. The fact that, you know, an hour after we'd got this news, we received this message, hey, God wants you to read this. The profound sense of God's presence, God's closeness with us in that situation was like nothing I'd experienced, honestly. It was like he was in the room with us. It was amazing. The situation didn't end the way we wanted to, but actually God, in that situation, enabled us to experience his presence in a way that was so profound. It was awesome, really was awesome. And what I want to talk to you about this morning, the reason I've told you that story, is that actually, you know, in the hard times, in the good times, in the, you know, weekly times of us joining together and worshiping God like today, actually we're a people that are marked by God's presence. It is part of God's design that we are meant to be in his presence and experience his presence, right? You know, that story there in which Jess and I experienced God's presence in that way, that shouldn't be a surprise. Actually, we are made to be in God's presence, to experience his presence. And so what I want to talk about today is our expectations. Do you expect to experience God's presence in these ways? Do you expect here this morning to actually encounter God? Are you here because it's what you do on a Sunday? You want to see your friends? You want to kind of fill your head with knowledge of what's in the book? Or do you also expect to encounter God's presence here today? I think we need to increase our expectations, and that's going to be really our focus for this morning. So if you've been here over recent weeks, you'll know that we're going through the book of Exodus. And when I practiced this morning, it was like 10 minutes too long. So a lot of these things are going to be quite quick. So my recap is going to be quite quick, okay? So I really want to recap on the things that are critical to what we're focusing on today. And so if you're not familiar with the Exodus story in the Bible, let me summarise it for you quickly with the points that I really want to focus on. So the Israelite people, they were in Egypt under a pretty brutal pharaoh at the time, okay? And they were enslaved. They were doing forced labour and that kind of thing. And so early in the book of Exodus, what we see is God recruits this guy Moses actually to lead his people out of Israel. That's the plan that he instigates. And so the way he does that is through the story of the burning bush, which you might be familiar with. That's how he kind of grabs Moses' attention. We then have these 10 plagues, which we heard about a few weeks ago, which is kind of the way that God kind of twists Pharaoh's arm into letting his people go, while also demonstrating actually his superiority, his power in comparison with the dead gods of Egypt, right? We then get the exit of the Israelites out of Egypt and then through the Red Sea, where God parts the Red Sea and then collapses it on the Egyptian army who pursue, because Pharaoh changes his mind, remember, right, and sends his army after the people. And then we kind of hear about how the Israelites in the wilderness kind of begin to grumble because we don't have food and we don't have shelter, and it was better being enslaved in Egypt. We had food and we had roofs over our head. And then we hear about this kind of God miraculously providing food, raining it down from the skies, right? And we also heard about how kind of the grumbling went on, and when Moses was away talking to God, how the people melted down their golden jewelry and created a golden calf to bow down and worship, just like the gods that they had in Egypt, right? We heard that as well. And so that's kind of a bit of context in terms of where we're up to. So I don't have any slides. We're going to be reading Exodus 33, 12 to 17. So switch your Bibles on or open them. I'll give you a couple of seconds. 33, 12 to 17. Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you'll send with me. You said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And just to pause before we carry on reading, this is interesting, right? It's interesting when God says, "My presence will go with you," because we know that God is omnipotent, right? He's everywhere all the time. You can't go somewhere in the universe and God not be there, right? We see this throughout the Bible. So, for example, Jeremiah 23, 24. Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him? Do I not fill heaven and earth? And so what does God mean? My presence will go with you, and yet he's everywhere anyway. Well, actually, we see this kind of duality throughout the Bible, okay? There's this fact that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere at all times. But also, throughout the Bible, there's this special sense that God dwells in certain places in a special kind of way, and we're going to look more about that in a minute, okay? So I just wanted to call out that kind of interesting duality there. Verse 15, let's read on. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. Yeah, I wonder how you feel when you kind of read that. When God promises to be with his people, to be present with them, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go with you. Feels pretty good, right? You're happy to read that. I love these verses for Moses' kind of heart and his wisdom. So I gave a recap before of what's happened in the Exodus story. What Moses has seen is at every turn, God has made the difference, right? God brought the people out of Israel. God overcame Pharaoh. God provided for them in the wilderness. God has performed miracle after miracle. It's God's presence with them that has made them stand out. And so Moses is saying, look, don't send us on unless you're going to come. There's no point. It's you that makes us special. It's you that brought us out of Egypt. It's you who's sustaining us, Lord. I don't want to go on and do this without you. And so I love Moses' wisdom here because it's really easy. To think, actually, we can do it on our own, right? Moses could have said, well, you know, there's a lot of us. There's a lot of Israelites. I get to kind of tell them all what to do. I know there's this guy and that person that are awesome at X and Y. You know, we can build a great leadership team. And actually, we could probably create a pretty good army in time. We've got people that could create weapons, so on and so forth. Like, you could easily think that way. You know, it's not, we can look at Moses and say, yeah, obviously, with what he's experienced, he would react this way. But he might not. We might not, you know. We might say, oh, yeah, okay, I can do that. I can do that. You can leave it to me, God. Actually, no. It's God's presence among his people that makes them stand out. That's what it's about. And so it's really these two things from this passage, these verses that we've looked at, I want us to focus on. It's Moses asking God's presence to be with his people, and it's God promising to be present with his people. That's what's really going to drive the rest of this talk to this morning. So I've talked about this kind of this duality, right? We've got God's omnipresence. He's everywhere all the time. And there's this idea that also, or this fact also, that God is kind of dwelling in certain places in a special kind of way, right? So if you read on in the book of Exodus, what you'll see is God instructs Moses to oversee the construction of a tabernacle, right? This is like a special tent. And so when God says, my presence will be with you, the way that looks later in the book of Exodus is there is this special tent and God's presence dwells there. And then later in the Old Testament, a guy called Solomon builds a temple in Jerusalem, a building, and God's presence dwells there. And so we see in the Old Testament, God's presence dwelling in a special kind of way, even though he's everywhere, and even though he created the universe, he kind of dwells in a special kind of way in certain places. Okay, so this is a theme throughout the Bible. And so today, where does God's presence dwell? Does it dwell in the temple in Jerusalem still? Do we have to go to Jerusalem if we want to encounter God's presence? Well, let's read from John 4, verse 19 to 21, where Jesus is speaking to a Samaritan woman by the well, and you might know the story. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. Now, remember, this is a Samaritan woman. She's not Jewish, okay? When she says we worship, it's a different kind of worship, right? But you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming where you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. A time is coming. And it's come. Let's read 1 Corinthians 3:16, 17. Paul writing to the church in Corinth. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred and you together are God's temple. We are God's temple now. God's people, you and me, his church, we're his temple. That means God's presence dwells in us now, no longer in Jerusalem. And so where do we want to go if we want to encounter God's presence, if we want to be in God's presence today? Actually, we don't need to go anywhere. Rather, as the church, as God's people, we bring his presence. Yeah? So God is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time, and yet he dwells in his people as well. His presence is in us. And, you know, what I'm talking about today is kind of the expectation that we will experience God's presence. So how do we experience God's indwelling presence? That's what we call it when God dwells in us, right? It's indwelling presence. How do we experience that? Well, perhaps you're familiar with the fruit of the Spirit. There's this kind of list that Paul gives. Galatians 5:22-23 says this: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control." That is the fruit of the Spirit. What does that mean? It means that when the Spirit dwells in us, these things, this grows. We become more like God. And the way in which we describe that is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. As the Holy Spirit dwells in you, you will experience a change through the fruit of the Spirit growing in you. Now, this isn't something that we necessarily experience, right? I can't feel that happening, right? In the same way that I can't feel myself growing. I'm not growing anymore. I've passed that point in my life. But although my ears and nose, as far as I understand it, are, and my nose hairs definitely are. but we don't feel this happening, right? But do you know this thing about how a frog is in, you know, think about frogs in hot water? So I didn't test this beforehand. I intended to, but I was just a little bit too late preparing this. But apparently if you put a frog, I didn't really intend to, just in case anyone listening doesn't know my kind of sense of humour. If you put a frog in cold water, okay, in a pan of cold water, and you gradually heat it up, apparently the frog will, it won't be able to sense that the water's getting hotter, right? Because it happens so slowly. It doesn't realise that the water reaches such a temperature that the frog will overheat and die. So it just stays in the water. It becomes boiling, but the frog hasn't noticed, and it dies. But if you take the same frog, and you take it out of some cold water, and you put it in some boiling hot water, it will jump out. Because the difference is clear, right? It can tell that it's boiling hot, because it's just been in the cold water. And so I assume that's true. I don't know why anyone make that up. But it's a really, I think, a good analogy for the way that the fruit of the Spirit develops in us. You know, we might not sense it, but sometimes when I'm outside of the church, I will see the way that people relate to each other and talk to each other. I will see married couples. I will see people posting on social media. I will see people talking behind other people's backs. And because I'm so used to being amongst God's people and being in the church, I'm so shocked by this lack of the fruit of the Spirit in other people. I see the difference. It's like hot versus cold water. Actually, you are being conformed to be like Jesus Christ. You know, your experience of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you is this fruit growing over time. And we notice it. Like that frog doesn't notice it, maybe in the moment, you compare and you see it. And this is my experience, I think, of this. And so, look, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. God's presence dwells in us. And so when Moses asks God, come with us. You know, I don't want to go unless you go with me. Actually, we don't have to ask in quite the same way, right? Because God's presence is in us. You can't go anywhere without God's presence. God is with you. God is in you. God dwells in you now, in all of us as his church. And so we've looked at God's omnipresence. God is everywhere all the time. And yet God dwells as well in certain kind of places in a special way. And now that is in us as his church. But what I want to spend the rest of the time talking about is a third kind of presence of God, and that is the manifest presence of God. What is the manifest presence of God? Well, A.W. Tozer, who is a theologian, puts it this way: the presence and the manifestation of the presence are not the same. There can be one without the other. God is here when we're wholly unaware of it. He is manifest only when and as we are aware of his presence. And so the manifest presence is about these times, not in the sense that God is in us and he's kind of developing the fruit in us gradually over time, which isn't something we're really conscious of, right? Actually, the manifest presence, that's those times when we become aware of God's presence. My story from the beginning of the sermon, you know, what happened there was this girl was praying and asking God if there was anything he wanted to say to her. And she kind of experienced the manifest presence of God in God giving her that message for us. We experience the manifest presence of God in receiving that message and reading it and being like, whoa, God is right with us in this. God is present. You know, throughout the story of Exodus, we've seen the manifest presence of God in a number of different ways, right? The burning bush, which didn't burn up, that Moses saw. In the 10 plagues. In the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire when God is leading his people. In the verses at the end of Exodus 33, which we didn't have time to look at today, where God, this amazing verse where Moses says, show me your glory to God. Like after the verse we've read, he just says, show me your glory. Actually, now show me your glory. You know, I mean, obviously it's been translated and stuff, but it just sounds brilliant. And God's like, right, okay, look, you'll die if you see me, but I'll put you in the rock over there and I'll walk past and you can look at my back and you can see the back of me, right? This kind of bizarre manifestation of God's presence. We see it throughout the book of Exodus. And I think sometimes we can look at these stories in the Bible and the way that God's presence has been experienced, and we can be like, well, that was kind of the old-fashioned like Bible way of doing it. It's a bit different now. So, you know, there's the gifts of the Spirit, which we'll talk about in a minute. But what's interesting is I've heard so many stories over the years, like directly from people that have experienced these stories that I know, where God kind of manifests his presence in unique ways, right? A lot of these things we read about in the Old Testament seem to have just kind of happened once. It's not like it's a pattern. It's not like when God wants to speak to you, he sets a bush on fire, but the bush doesn't burn up. Like, that happens all the time, right? There's these stories that only seem to happen once. I know that some of you were here when Simon Holly spoke not too long ago in our evening service, right? So some of you will know Simon Holly. Simon's a good friend of ours as a church, okay? So the movement we're part of, Catalyst, Simon leads. And I've heard, and I'll tell you this story just to show that kind of we can't predict how God will manifest himself, okay? Simon, a few years ago, in one of their services, Simon often tells a story, and so do the other leaders of his church, of one of their worship sessions there, okay? Like a Sunday meeting like this. Okay, so Simon was stood at the back of the room, and someone just came up to Simon and said, Simon, can you smell burning? I think something's on fire. And Simon's like, no, can't smell anything. Someone else comes up to him, Simon, I think something's burning. Third and a fourth person. So they're like, well, okay, I can't smell it, but let's see what's happening. Walking around the room trying to find out, you know, is the aircon melting or what's happening? Where's the smell of burning coming from? And they couldn't find anything. And at the same time as this, Phil, who's one of the other leaders there, he's driving his car. He's not at the service. He's somewhere else. And guess what he smells when he's driving his car? Gets the smell of burning. So much so that he pulls over his car. He's opening up the bonnet. What's going on? Something's on fire. And to such an extent that when he gets home, his clothes smell of burning. And people at the church, their clothes smell of burning. And, you know, I don't know what that's about, other than maybe just God giving people the sense that actually he is there, just making people aware that he is there. I don't know what that is. But the reason I tell you that story is we can't predict what God will do. He does all kinds of things. And I've heard a bunch of other stories, which I don't have time to go into, especially in different parts of the world, of God just doing these strange things. Sometimes God just wants us to know that he's there, that he's close. Now, very often, what God does is he uses spiritual gifts, okay? This is a bit more of a kind of maybe structured way of God manifesting his presence. And yet, in the Bible, we don't really have a definitive list of spiritual gifts, right? We have one long list, and then other places there are different things which are referred to as spiritual gifts. I think, really, God can do whatever he wants, okay? We can't limit him to a framework. But spiritual gifts are helpful because this list consists of a bunch of things that we see happen quite a lot, okay? I want to read to you guys from that list. But first, let me explain what the Bible says spiritual gifts are, okay, and what they're for. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit, so when God makes his presence kind of known, and he's talking about spiritual gifts here. They're given for the common good. Okay, they're given for the common good. John Piper says this: God gives us spiritual gifts so we can help our brothers and sisters fight the good fight of faith. And so spiritual gifts, this is like a community thing. These are things that work in community, right? This is when God gives us maybe something for someone else, or maybe when we come together in worship and we experience these things together. And so spiritual gifts are best understood, I think, when thinking about community. And so I want to kind of go through the list in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 11. And I'll also try and give you some examples of when we've seen these things in our community, okay? 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 11. To one there is given, through the Spirit, a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. And so that message that Jess and I received from a friend, that probably come under one of these two categories. Often this is when we pray for someone and we're patient and we're expectant. And because we're expectant, we wait and we say, God, you know, is there something you want me to say to this person? Right? Sometimes God gives us a message of wisdom or knowledge. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. You know, Jane, in one of our meetings a few years ago, was, you know, you'd suffered for 4.5 years, and Jane was healed miraculously. And, you know, we've seen healing. God heals people. It's usually a community thing, right? It's us praying for others. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. We've got people in this church who are super gifted in prophecy. But it's not an exact science, right? You're never quite sure. You know, when you give someone a word, you don't necessarily know whether that's going to happen. My experience of prophecy usually is I get something, and then a few years later, I remember. I'm like, oh, flip, I had that prophecy. And that person prayed that thing a few years ago. You know, tell people. If you realize that actually, yeah, that was from God, you know, this message that Jess and I received from this person, tell them that actually that was from God. Build them up, encourage them, because it's a risk to actually give these things to people. To another, speaking different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. You know, we had a guy a couple of weeks ago in our service here actually prayed out in tongues, like this, these words that we don't understand. And another guy here, he understood it. He had the interpretation. That's what the Bible says should happen when there's these tongues. And he prayed out the interpretation. You know, these things are happening. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. I'm excited, so I need to drink some water. Okay, so I think what I want us to kind of, the thing I hope for this morning is really that our expectation increases, and that because our expectation increases, we actually seek God more in this, right? And because we seek God more, that actually we then experience his manifest presence more, because we are expecting, because we are seeking. And, you know, there isn't a set pattern for God turning up and doing things. There isn't a set pattern for God bringing prophecy. It isn't like we can make him do these things, right? But what I've noticed in asking people around the church, you know, when do you tend to find you experience these things? What I've realized is almost always it happens when we're seeking, right? When we are expectant. So, for example, when we're praying and we allow time, we wait and we listen and we say, you know, God, if there's something you want to say to me, God, is there something you want to say to me about Michael Dixon? You know, maybe I might do that. I would welcome you all in your prayer times, please. You know, is there anything you've got for Josh and Jess? I would love for you to pray that, because I'm expectant and I believe that God will give you things to build us up and to encourage us. And let me encourage you to look to pray for others, to be expectant that God is going to give you things for them. And actually, we have to take risks, because my experience of giving someone some kind of word is it's pretty much always that you're not sure, right? You're not sure. And you might look a bit silly. So actually, you have to kind of take a risk. And when someone takes a risk and you're on the other end of that, you have to encourage them. And if it turns out to be a word from God, if it turns out to be prophecy, you have to tell them that. You have to really encourage them, even if it's years later. You know, Jess has had words from people which just seem so random. And then, like, a period of time later, the exact same such random-seeming word from someone else. And it's like, okay, well, that's obviously God. So, you know, when we find that out, we need to tell the people that have actually taken the risk on our behalf and encourage them. James chapter 4 verse 8 says, "Come near to God and he will come near to you." So we can't make God do this stuff. But actually, when we come near to him, when we seek him and we are expectant, when we expect to experience God's presence, actually, we're much more likely to do so. Come near to God and he will come near to you. And so, yeah, you know, spend time in prayer, spend time in scripture. When you come on a Sunday, maybe pray before you come. You know, pray that God would give you something for the service. Pray that God would manifest his presence in our service, in our worship times. Pray for other people. Was anyone here for Liam Thatcher's sermon in one of our evening services not too long ago? I just reminded now of, you know, one of the things that Liam was talking about was dreams, right? And Liam, if you haven't heard it, listen to his sermon on the podcast. It's excellent. But one of the things Liam talked about was dreams and how God can speak to us through dreams. I've heard so many stories, particularly in other parts of the world, how God speaks to people through dreams, right? Even people who aren't Christians. Such a common thing in the East for people to find Jesus revealed to them in dreams. People who don't know Jesus yet, don't even know who he is, right? So Liam was talking about dreams, and he was talking about how God can speak to us through dreams. And he was really encouraged by a podcast he heard. And so he would go to bed, pray that God would speak to him in his dreams, and go to bed with like a pencil and a bit of paper, right? And so if he woke up in the night having had a dream, he'd write it down. And Liam found that he was being given prophetic insight for other people just through having been expectant. He was asleep, you know, he couldn't do anything about it. He just expected, he just believed, he just asked God. You know, Jess did the same after that, and she's had a number of dreams which seem to be God speaking to her. Let me encourage you in that. Just being expectant sometimes can be enough. I just want to read a couple of those verses from the beginning again. Exodus 3, verses 15 and 17. Moses said to God, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name." So I just want to finish by just encouraging you. You know, God's design involves us being in his presence. You know, in the Garden of Eden, God was present with his people. In Jesus Christ, God came to be present on earth physically with us. By giving us his Holy Spirit, he is present with us. And at the end of the Revelation, we see God's ultimate plan for eternity is him being present with us and us being present with him, you know, for his glory. God's plan means us being in his presence. And so let me encourage you, be expectant. Be expectant, seek God. You know, we are God's people because he is present with us. That's what marks us out. It's God's presence. So I'm going to pray. If you guys maybe like to stand. Yeah, Lord, don't send us to do your work unless you're going to come with us. Lord, we know that you are present in us, and yet there's this other kind of presence, your manifest presence, God, which we want to see more of, Lord. In our worship services together, you know, in our midweek groups, Lord, when we're on our own in prayer, when we're sleep dreaming, Lord, we want to see more of your presence, Lord. I pray, would we not do church and not expect to experience your presence, Lord. I pray for just the rest of our service today. Lord, would we experience your presence today? I pray for people to have words from you, to have prophecy from you, and just to sense your closeness today. God, thank you that you say you'll do the very thing we've asked. You'll be in our presence. We love you, Lord. You are awesome. Amen.